give us this day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Saturday of the first Sunday after Epiphany. The lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, unto the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
When I grew up in Champaign, Illinois for the first 10 years of my life, I had this incredible sense of being home and of being at peace. Though I've lived away from Champaign for more than 40 years now, there is a sense in which it is still the measure of what life could be. I'm convinced that one of the main reasons this is true is that my family, consisting of my dad and mom, 2 brothers, a sister, and myself, were incredibly close. There was this great unity there so that you could say, there goes the Erlinson family, complete with 4 kids in a 2.5-year span. One of my brothers is a twin. Though now my parents are grandparents and the 4 kids have gone their separate ways, there is still a unity that lies underneath our separation. When we get together, we still manage to have several conversations going on at the same time. We still tend to talk about intellectual things and analyze things to death. One of my sister's boyfriends, years ago, politely likened our family conversation to an orchestra. Regardless of how far away he removed us, even in death, there would still be this underlying unity. In the same way, St. Paul talks this morning about the unity of the church, a unity that already exists, but one that must also be maintained by the church. Just as in many sermons, there is first a theological explanation and application to our lives, so we find this in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In chapters 1 through 3, Paul deals more theologically with God's election and great plan of reconciliation, the call to life in Christ, union with Christ, and fullness of Christ in the church. In chapters 4 through 6, he turns to God's command to walk worthy of his calling. I mentioned that often theology must go before application. Well, here goes a little theology. Paul's theology in Ephesians is based on the Trinity in many ways. Remember how Paul's glorious sentence in chapter 1 was based on the work of each person of the Trinity. The Trinity, the one God in 3 persons who created all things, is the basis for all reality. For this reason, there is both diversity in the world and also an underlying unity in this diversity. Look at your loose change or a $1 bill and you'll find the esoteric Latin phrase e pluribus unum, which means out of many, one. This political ideal is nothing less than an application of the ultimate reality of the Holy Trinity. Paul is especially concerned in Ephesians 4 about unity, and he refers to the unity of the Trinity, for there is one Father, verse 6, one Lord, verse 5, and one Spirit, verse 4. But wouldn't you expect that in the body of Jesus Christ, the new man that God has created, there would also be diversity in unity? Just as there is unity in God, there is unity in His church. God is one, and therefore His church is one. Not maybe, but is one. Episcopalians and Reformed Episcopalians, Roman Catholics and Baptists, there is only one body of Christ, although of course not everyone who claims to be a Christian is truly part of that body. There is only one Jesus Christ, and He's not a polygamist. He has only one wife, the Church, whether we believe it or not. All of this exists, for example, the one true faith, regardless of what we believe. People may choose to think that all religions are the same or that it doesn't matter what you believe, but regardless of what people believe, there is only one true faith, only one Lord, and only one body of Christ. So unity in the church is a fact, but we must make it visible to the world and to the angels, and we must maintain this unity and incarnate it. It is the work of God, but God gives us a role to play in His mystery of salvation, and part of that role is to maintain and make visible the unity that God has created through the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that we are to work to keep the unity of the church in the bond of peace, verse 3. There are things each of us must do to keep the bond of peace that God has created. Paul tells the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, that they are His epistle, His letter. You also are God's epistle. You are His living, visible theology that others see. It is through each of you, through all Christians this morning, that God makes this unity visible and known to all. St. Paul gives us three main ways you can make visible the unity of God that he expresses in his one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. And these are having one faith, verse 5, one body, verse 4, and one Lord, verse 5. Our one faith, as we've talked about in other Give Us This Days, include both aspects of faith, belief plus behavior, faith plus faithfulness. To maintain and express the unity of God in his church, you must have proper belief or theology on your lips. There are certain things you must believe to be a Christian, things which are summarized in the creeds. To maintain and express the unity of God's church, you must also have proper behavior in your life. Paul commands you in verse 1 to walk worthy of your calling. Remember the high calling you have, as a steward of the mysteries of God, an apostle, a martyr, an evangelist, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and an adopted child of God. This is the calling you are to walk worthy of. How you live as a Christian, therefore, makes a difference. It makes every difference in and to the world. You have been called to a God who is light, and have been called a child of light. To choose, therefore, to walk in darkness is to break unity with God and His life. To make matters worse, when we disbelieve or sin, and therefore break the unity of the one faith, then we are leading others astray as well. You can often hide your beliefs, although not from God, but you can't hide your behavior for long. When I taught school and talked to students who had doubts about Christianity or had left the church, the number one reason they gave for giving up the one faith was the hypocrisy of Christians who said they believed one thing but lived as if they believed something else. We can also make visible the unity of God in His church by acting as one body. The mystical body of Jesus on earth, the church, is one. Jesus Christ came and died to make us one with God and one with each other. How can we, who are sinful and selfish and prone to wars and divisions, show the world the one faith and the one body that we say we believe in? How can we, who are too often hypocrites, teach the angels the mystery of unity? By living in unity with one another, and that means to live in love. How sad are the divisions in the church? They are sad no sadder than divisions in earthly families. What part have you played in breaking the unity of the church? In what ways are you not living at peace with your brothers or sisters? In what ways have you broken the unity of the body by being a consumer of churches and of God, by believing that you can worship God however you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, with however much of your body, mind, soul, energy, time, money, gifts, and talents that you want? Finally, before we can have one faith and one church and one life together, we must all serve the one true Lord. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for the reconciliation and unity of the world that we can ever have the other forms of unity. There is only one Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no other name in heaven or on earth by which men must be saved, that is, made one with God and with each other. Like St. Paul, I am begging you this morning, today, to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to believe in one holy God, your calling to act like one body, and your calling to serve your one Lord by being like him in all things.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.